You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Heart of Dixie After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Heart of Dixie After Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another after show here at AfterBuzz TV for Heart of Dixie. This is Season 3, Episode 11, One More Last Chance. I'm Paige Sullivan, your host, joined by my lovely co-host.
Hi, I'm Christine Archer.
Hey, guys, it's Michelle Renee.
And our special guest.
Hi, I'm Mallory Moy.
Hi.
Who plays Wanda.
Yes, we're happy to have you back. She joined us last year, and she's back again. So
yes, it's good to be back.
Welcome. We will break down this episode. There was a lot of changes in relationships going on, and the town in general.
Yeah, and we had been predicting, like, which couple was going to break up, and there was actually two breakups this episode. So
Didn't see that coming. Do we count Brooke and Shelby as a breakup? Like, I feel like that was, like, a little weird thing that happened, and then it just stopped happening.
Well, they just got together last episode, and then they broke up this episode.
It was very short-lived.
I think we knew that would be short-lived.
Though. Yeah.
Okay. Brooke as another, as a dad, like, I just felt like it wouldn't work.
Right.
Yeah,
he's so much older than her.
Yeah.
But I do like them together. I like them a lot.
I like them together.
I feel bad for him.
It wasn't
Poor
his
Brick.
Kid, though.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
I was a little surprised, to be honest. I don't know. I feel like he was at the point, at least in his life, where he was ready for a wife, maybe not for a kid, especially since it wasn't his kid. But I thought they might last for a while, especially after she was, like, there and gone and almost left again once she moved into his house and then... Now she's gone again. I can't really imagine them bringing her back into the show, but I think it's kind of weird that we never got to, like, see her have the baby and, like, kind of see how that played out.
And, like, what happens to the cabaret?
Right.
What happens to that? Is that where Lemon comes back in, though? It's like she comes back, she buys it, and now it's Lemon's. Like, she wanted it to be.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe so.
I don't know. Who knows? But so it all starts out. We see Zoe and Joel. I almost said Zoe and Wade. Zoe and Joel. Oh. And they're looking for an apartment. And they can't seem to agree on any of it. And they are having an issue trying to figure it out. They bump into Wade, who's trying to get Harley to like him. And he doesn't. So do we think it's because it's just another guy in his mom's life? That's what I figured.
I think so. I mean, especially being kind of young. I don't know exactly how old Harley was, but
he's eight.
Eight years old. I think that's kind of a weird age to just have, like, a male figure who you don't know if he's going to stick around. You don't know, you know, how long he's going to be there for. And he just met him, too. And I'm sure, I mean, they just started dating within the past two or three episodes, really. So I think it's just a typical kid not liking whoever's mom's going to date, no matter who it is.
Yeah, and I think... I don't know. Am I correct in saying that this is the first relationship that his mom has had since she divorced from his dad?
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's got to be really hard for a child to see his mom being with someone that's not his father. And someone so different from him also. Like, I feel like Joel would be a better, like, stepdad for him than Wade.
That's so true.
I think we were talking when we saw the previews last week. We were looking and we were saying it doesn't, like, they don't really match up. Harley and Wade, but you could see Joel and Harley being together.
Right.
I also feel like, I mean, just realistically, outside of like a TV show, I think the sex and all that he was aiming for should probably happen before meeting the kid, because if it doesn't work out, now that your kid's met this guy and lost his salamander and like all this traumatic experience, and if they don't work out, which I personally don't think they're going to last very long, not very long, but I don't think they'll go for the long run. Then it's kind of leaving Harley without another male figure, which I think is like...
That's true. That's traumatizing.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to introduce your child to someone new.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like I learned this from Teen Mom. They're like, oh, I can't introduce the boyfriend yet to the baby. But I just felt like it was early. But Harley seems to stand on his own two feet. I mean, he is an opinionated boy.
Yeah, so bad.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I felt he was fresh. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I don't think that people... I mean, I don't have any children, so it's kind of hard for me to say, but... I don't like when parents let their child run their life, but then at the same time, I get that, like, your relationship with your child is obviously more important than a relationship with a man that may or may not, you know, things may or may not work out. So I don't know. I just thought that in some instances in the show, they were letting him, Harley, little Harley, be too grown. Like, yeah, he's a child. Like, zip your lip and sit there.
Dictating everything.
Yeah. And especially in the South, like, I don't know. I feel like that's one of the, like, cardinal rules of a child in the South is, like, you are to be seen and not heard.
Yeah, that's what my grandmother used to say.
I agree. Not Harley, true. That's for sure.
No. Yeah. And he talks about morbid things for an 8-year-old.
No.
Like, oh, what's his name? Cecil's going to kill you in your sleep. Yeah. And he's going to take your brains up
in the toy.
I do think Wade's really sweet with him, though. Mm-hmm. I think Wade's pretty good with kids. It's really nice to see that side of him.
I feel like Zoe said, she took a dig at him. She's like, oh, you guys are on the same, like, mental level. Yeah. And which I think is true, though, for somebody like Wade, where he's all about the fun. It's easier for him to relate to a little kid as opposed to everybody else around him who's all grown up.
Yeah, he is a little kid. He's always kind of been the, like, little kid of the bunch who, yeah. I don't know. I think usually when you have people like that, though, you almost expect them not to be very good with the kids, but I guess because they can relate to them, mm-hmm, he gets along with them well, but right. I don't know.
I feel like it's with parents, you know, you have that one parent who's always going to, like, put you in your place and the other one who, like, budges a little bit. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Like, Wade's the guy who would budge in that place. But the whole thing is about Zoe and Joel are trying to get Winifred's house. Once they find out Wade's met Winifred, and it's really that she hates New Yorkers, apparently, because of her ex-boyfriends. But then Zoe, I felt like there was this underlying story about Zoe and Wade this entire time where they're both talking each other up and how great they are. Mm. And it's like, their relationships are going well, but you have this underlying thing going on.
Yeah, and they're both making sacrifices.
For each other.
For the other one. Like, for instance, Zoe's like, oh, it was me that lost the salamander, mm-hmm, you know, and she knows that it's going to jeopardize the house, but she does it anyway because she wants the best for Wade. So I agree that there was definitely some.
Yeah. And even how he says, you know, Zoe's going to annoy you and she's going to drive you crazy until she doesn't and you love her. And it's like, you don't say that about your ex, especially when you're trying to get with this kid's mom. I don't know.
And he made another comment. He was talking about, like, Vivian, and Zoe said something like, when have you been this way about some woman? And he was like, well, not since. Since this crazy New Yorker went into town. And so I'm like, that was a little, flirtatious moment.
I know, I'm always rooting for them. I really like Zayd.
Oh, so you're on Team Zayd?
I am Team Zayd. I like them together.
I do, too. I feel like they're the end game. Like, they're going to happen.
They are, but this might be getting into predictions. But then, like, at the end of the episode, we see that Joel and her are buying a house together, not even renting one.
Right,
so I'm like,
that seems fast.
I think this is where it gets serious and we get a breakup or something. Because when things like that start happening and, like, they're going through the motions and maybe signing the papers or closing on the house, that's when maybe Zoe or Joel, you know, will have the epiphany, like, okay, he said he's all in, but I think maybe she'll get to that point. And little Harley mentioned it, like, which one of you is afraid of commitment? I think they're going to get there, and then it's going to, like, crumble down.
You think that was some foreshadowing?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because remember, like,
that would make sense.
Yeah, when we saw, like, Brooke and Shelby, like, get engaged, and then they, like, collapsed. It's like these big moments in the wedding between, you know, George and Lemon, and poof, that falls apart. I mean, it's just, I feel like if anything is going to break them up, it would be this big, something big has to happen, or something serious where she has to consider that this isn't just, like, a relationship. It's, like, permanent.
Yeah.
Because if you buy a house together, I mean, that gets messy. You can kick somebody out of the bed and breakfast. But, so I think that whole storyline, they don't get the house with Winifred. We get Joel and them buying a house, which I think will lead to, you know, a breakup. But it's interesting to see that these relationships are going so well for them. But
For now.
But that leads us to, you know, George and Linley, who aren't having the best relationship right now.
Oh, man. Yeah, it looks like Linley's leaving.
Yeah.
Leaving town.
She was a good addition. Yeah. She was fun. She stirred things up, but I think we all knew she would be leaving at some point.
Sorry, I'm dying a real turn.
I've been sick all weekend,
so ignore me if I'm coughing for half the time. Yeah, it's crap. Hey, anyway.
Give her a pat on the back.
Aww. There she goes. She's alive. But yeah, no, Lindley's gone, which we get at the end of the episode, but it all starts off because her and Tansy are trying to be friends. And I think it was a case of, like, frenemies, like, keep your enemies closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friends close, enemies closer.
Yeah. Definitely. That would be really hard to be friends with your boyfriend's ex. Yeah. I don't think I could do that.
No.
I'm glad it all played out like it did, because whenever the episode started and they were friends, I was really confused. Like, wait, why are they friends? So it makes sense that, you know, she was just doing that so she could sabotage her. And
did you think Tansy had ulterior motives, or did you think she was just being friends with Lindley?
I just thought she maybe was lonely since she didn't
broke up
have
a scooter.
Yeah, she didn't have anyone.
I don't know. But, well, that friendship disintegrated pretty quickly when she burnt her hair. And it's this whole story of, like, oh, I didn't do it on purpose, but no, really, I did. And, oh, he thinks she did, and it starts this whole fight.
Yeah.
But it's almost as if Lindley just wanted to prove to George that he didn't care about her as much as he was saying he did. Like, she did it, knew it would start a fight, and to see, like, how he would react to it. Because why else would you do it other than just to be mean? Like, solely to be mean?
I mean, I think it was a little bit of both. I think that she wanted to mess her hair up, and she said that she was kind of crazy in her past relationship, and what did she do to her ex-boyfriend's yard?
Oh.
I don't know. She did something to ruin something of her ex-boyfriend's. Mm-hmm. She mentioned last episode or either the episode before that. So I think she has those tendencies in her to act out when relationships aren't necessarily going her way. So I think it was that. And then I agree that I think she was trying to prove to George, you know, she just wanted George to admit, like, you still have these feelings for her.
Mm-hmm. And so, Mallory, you mentioned you're a Zayn fan. What do you, are you a George Tucker Tansy fan? Like, since George and Zoe are, like, off the table for you, like, where are you with that?
God, I love Tansy. Mm-hmm. Also, just because I love Mircea, who plays her.
Yeah, she's
so
sweet.
Always rooting for Tansy and George because I want them to stay. I mean, probably ultimately, I feel like Tansy and Wade are probably a better fit, and Zoe and George. So then that would be the perfect way for everyone to stay on the show. but I don't know. I'm wondering if maybe George still hasn't found, like, the one for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I do like him and Tansy together, but in some ways they seem so polar opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. And it seems almost too easy for him to fall back into Tansy
right
now. How did you feel about he and Lindley? Because they hated it over here.
Yeah. I always thought that was a strange mix. She's just so much younger, and she's not even just younger, but she's very immature in how she will act out, and
she's aggressive.
She's very aggressive. And
can we talk about their breakup too? We were talking about it earlier when the show was on. It was so weird. Like, they were fighting, and she left the Rammer Jammer, and then she was going home. Like,
and then she's packing her bags.
Within literally 45 seconds, they went from, like, having a little argument. They never even really broke up. I might have missed the breakup.
Well, but that, like, was the breakup. That was, like, the mutual agreement this
but
is
at no point was it, like, oh, I feel like it should have been a conversation of, like, okay, yeah, like, this is the reason, like, it's over. Maybe I should go home. Not just, like, well, and it was weird because it was very friendly, too, though.
She knew why he was breaking up with her.
And he knew, like, it was done. Like, I think they both, I think they just knew. And for her, she's not one to be, like, quiet about it. Like, she's got to go out with a bang. She's got to hop on a flight that night, like, take the red eye out of there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even the hair thing. It was George and Tansy.
Yeah, but I love them, like, the whole situation in the Rammer Jammer where Tansy's being all rude, calling her crazy eyes. And the lieutenant governor's like, oh, strange nickname. Poor Lindley, though. I've never, like, seen the crazy eyes, but, like, we talked about it. We, like, know, like, what the crazy eyes are. But I'm sad to see her go. I think she could have stayed around in a different sense.
Yeah.
But then again, she probably would have gotten a little crazy on George and Tansy, knowing who she is.
I just feel like... True. I mean, what are we on now? Episode 11, I guess. And she's been kind of a big character since episode 1 of the season. And for her to just go that quickly was kind of a little weird to me, at least. But I don't know if she'll be back. It didn't really seem like it. But I guess we'll have to see in the upcoming episodes.
I feel like there's always a good chance that people will come back in Bluebell.
Right? Not a spoiler?
No spoiler. I don't know anything about her coming back yet, but I feel like there's always a very good chance.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we thought Shelby was gone, too.
Yeah. I know. I was so surprised when they're bringing her back.
And she's pregnant.
And preggers.
So, I mean, I guess we'll hop into that because that was the next couple that was having this big thing. So, Shelby is living with Brick. They're, like, together. He's helping her shop for baby stuff. It just seemed to happen all very quickly. And then she starts freaking out because the lieutenant governor is coming, and this is all the scheme to save Bluebell. But she starts kind of freaking out about it, and turns out it's her baby daddy, which AB finds out. Everybody, I feel like, spills their souls to Annabeth. Like, she's just the one, you can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't see that one coming. I was very surprised. Did you?
I totally saw it coming. Like, if it hadn't been revealed in this episode, that was going to be my prediction. I wrote it down. I'm like, Shelby's baby dad is the lieutenant governor.
Really?
I thought she slept with
him. Although you missed the moment. But
she did.
Yeah, there was a moment.
I missed the moment at the very beginning.
That could have happened, but okay.
Yeah.
She did sleep with him. What do you mean?
Well, no. So I thought she slept with him. I didn't think it was his baby. Like, I thought it was one of those things, like, maybe, or like they were exes from a long time ago and he hated Shelby, like something like that. Because she had said multiple times it was a sperm donor. So I believed her, for, you know, because I took it, you know, as the truth. So I was thinking it was just going to be something, you know, very Bluebell, like dramatic and they hate each other, whatnot, so he wouldn't sign the papers. I didn't see the baby thing.
Yeah, I thought it was so strange that little storyline was so quick and over with. Like, I would expect that to happen over a few episodes. Maybe he's, like, staying in town for some reason. And then it kind of unfolds that he's her baby's dad. But I didn't understand why it was so quick. Like, she tells the story of them hooking up on this, like, kind of sleazy one-night stand.
And then
she contemplates whether or not she's going to tell him. She barges in, tells him. And then he's cool with it, cool enough with it to offer her a move to Montgomery, and he's going to, like, support the child. Like, that's a lot in, like, it happened, like, towards the latter half of the episode. So I don't know why that was so quick.
I feel like maybe that leaves room for Shelby to come back when it all falls apart.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah.
That could be it.
Yeah, like, you get hit with news like that, I think people just react in, like, a, you know, they say fight or flight. Like, he was probably just like, okay, we're doing it. Like, we're going to have this baby. And to me, though, it's strange that Shelby would be like, you know what, I'm just going to move to Montgomery and I'm just going to leave this new business and Brick and all my friends and just up and leave with a stranger. Like, he's actually a stranger who you slept with one time.
But, I mean, what she's been kind of needing from Brick is someone to support her and help her with the baby. And not necessarily financially, but, like, at the beginning of the episode, whenever she's like, look at these cute diapers, and Brick's kind of like, okay, yeah, do you realize what parenthood's going to be like?
It's like poop, food.
Yeah, I think she wants someone that's going to, like, you know, be super excited about the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe him offering, you know, her to live with him or whatever, maybe she thinks that's an indication that he's going to be really involved in the child's
life. And he even says, but it's sad at one point where he's like, I have to get excited about this. I have to, you know, I'm going to bring her out of her funk. And then he goes to, like, tell her how excited she is. And she's like, I'm moving with the baby daddy and I'll see you later.
I felt bad for Brick.
I did too.
I know. I feel like he's so lonely.
And he hasn't had, like, a real, other than Shelby, like, a real good, healthy relationship since Lemon's mother, which obviously wasn't healthy because she left.
Right.
So I feel like if anybody needs something, it's probably him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought he had a good chance with, what was her name before Shelby?
I don't know. I liked her, though.
I can't remember. We all liked her.
She was a redhead episode or two. His girlfriend.
Yeah, she seemed like a good fit. I can't remember her name either,
but I know. She seemed good.
Didn't work out.
Didn't. Well, maybe that will work out. She was cute.
Yeah, she could always come back.
Yeah, she just felt like Shelby was a good, like, good for Brick, or that, like, he was going to be there for the baby. So maybe for her, it was, like, a selfless thing. Like, he's helping this woman and her baby, and there's no room for me. You know, he's got to help her. True. So maybe now.
And they were in the same age group, so that's...
Carol Ann, was that her name?
Carol Ann, yeah.
Carol Ann, good memory.
Thank you. I was, like, trying to think about it this entire time. But so that all happens, and Shelby's off. So we will see her and Lindley another time, apparently. Maybe they'll be, like, on the same flight somewhere. But the whole episode was revolving around saving Bluebell from this merger, which was a three-story arc, basically. And LaVon's putting on a show for this lieutenant governor. He's literally making the whole, like, you guys, I know you rehearse because you're actors and you have lines, but, like, the people of Bluebell might as well just be actors because they are constantly putting on a show
constantly
for everyone. It's so funny. And, like, everybody had their little part they had to play, and Cricket in her crazy outfit and all of that. I just couldn't.
The outfits were ridiculous. We were all laughing at them when they came out. I mean, they were kind of cute, but just, like, very elaborate.
And the Bells always wear their antebellum dresses. Mm-hmm. They look for any reason.
Mm-hmm. I know. And you guys always get to... Oh, well, we didn't even get to talk to you about you because you weren't here last week, but you had, like, cell costume.
Oh, yeah.
You guys got some fun stuff to wear.
Yeah, I know. We never know what it's going to be. Last episode was so much fun, though. Yeah. Because it was, we all, there's however many, 8 or 10 of us, and we were all working together. And
yeah.
We were had dance rehearsals for a couple of days.
It's like you're on Glee or something.
I know, dance, that's what it felt like. We rehearsed that cell dance for 2 days. Oh, you would never know it.
That's so funny.
You would never know it.
We actually said we thought it was good. Like when Joel was like, it's so bad, we're like, oh, we thought that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, the dance was good.
Yeah.
The concept the play, show, whatever, was a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I mean, the dancing and the singing was good.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, we were all thrown off by Joel's remarks. We're like, what? Hey. But so they're putting on this show. Basically, everybody's doing their little part, and it ends, you know, with the bomb being dropped. Like, are we going to have this baby daddy? But to be honest, the historic part came from your TV show husband.
Yes.
So basically, you guys are in possession of this commode.
Yeah.
That was signed.
And everyone scoffed at it, but it actually ended up being the one historical object in the town.
Right? That was signed by who? Was it Andrew Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen the toilet.
Yeah.
Personally.
I know. I'm really curious what a toilet from that time period was.
I know.
Like.
It's probably just like a bowl. Yeah, it's like an outhouse, right?
Yeah, isn't it just a hole in the ground at that point?
I don't know.
I'm sure the writers had a hard time figuring that out, too. So they're like, we'll never see it.
It'll just be known that it's there.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you guys are so funny. You guys as the you are like the town couple that like will never have an issue.
I know. We're the only ones who have gotten married and stayed married.
Right. And so are the babies coming for you, too?
God, I have no idea. I know. I thought maybe they would come this year, and then Shelby was pregnant. I was like, oh,
darn.
I don't know if they can have two pregnant women.
I know. But next week we have a bachelor party, so that'll be exciting.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun.
And Tom is actually dancing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. As you saw in the previews, Tom and Meatball are the dancers for the bachelorette party. It's going to be
really exciting. Yeah, because Bluebell saved. Everybody can go about their business and do their other crazy things. So is there anything coming up that you're really excited about for your character? Or?
Yeah, I mean, there's some fun stuff in store for Tom and Wanda. Next episode, I believe, there's a reason Tom is having to dance for money. So he's trying to earn a little extra cash for us.
Wanda's like pimping him out.
They're trying to expand. Wanda and Tom are taking on a lot of animals.
In addition to the bees.
Yeah. They always have a lot of animals. So
That
has something to do with
that's so funny.
Yeah.
All of these episodes, like every week, I feel like it's so elaborate and there's always such a funny storyline. So that's funny. But so this year, you know, you're on the show season 3. What's been different this year for you guys? Have you like taken a different turn? Or?
You know, I mean, it's been pretty steady. I don't know. I feel like everybody else in the town is so crazy and there's so much drama constantly happening and people are always breaking up and getting back together. And I feel like so Tom and Wanda are kind of the only ones who are like stable. And I feel like you kind of need that, mm-hmm. I guess. So you're not.
They're like the all safe place.
Yeah.
And you guys, this episode, I meant to ask. I like noted it down. That like last scene where you guys are all at the Rammer Jammer, that must have been fun. I feel like everybody was there.
Yeah. It's always fun when we have days like that, when everybody's shooting. Because there can be times when you go, you know, weeks without seeing someone because you're just not in a scene with them. So I always look forward to those big scenes. Although they always, you know, take a long time because there's so many people and there's so many things to shoot, but
right,
it's fun.
I bet
fun to have everybody on set.
What's like a typical day for you though? Like, are you there every day of the week or does it depend on the week?
Totally depends on the week. Sometimes, you know, it can be just once a week depending on the episode. Sometimes it's as often as, you know, 5 days a week. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
That's nice.
Yeah,
and you guys have a great cast too.
We have a best cast. And I was actually talking to, because I was talking to one of our casting directors, and I was like, gosh, that's so lucky that everybody just happened to be able to sing and perform, you know, on stage like that. And they said that actually they look for actors who have theater backgrounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is great. Because so many of us do. Brandy, who plays cricket.
Scott.
And Scott.
Laura Belundi.
Yeah. And Carla, who plays Elodie. And the other Carla. Yeah, I mean, everybody. Yeah, lots of people.
Wow.
So, yeah, last week's episode was particularly fun for us. And then I really had a good time doing the little vaudeville, like, opening number that Tom and I did.
That was cute.
I was like, oh, I can't believe there's crickets. You know, nobody was laughing, but
we laughed.
I liked what was it, the cabaret / cabernet joke? I laughed during that.
Oh.
I don't know. It might have been a little.
I know. That's kind of my sense of humor. I'm like, it's a lame joke. I love it.
No, but it was funny. I laughed.
So do you get to do some theater stuff, like when you're not working on Heart of Dixie? Do you do that in your spare time?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I used to do all theater in New York. And then since I've been out here, I've just been working on the show and I don't know if I was here the last time, if I had worked on the movie Parkland.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Okay. So, yeah. So, when I worked on that, and now I would love to get involved in some theater out here now that I'm a little more settled.
Right. I know. LA, I feel like everybody thinks it's only TV, but there is some stuff going
There's definitely some good theater. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how was that with Parkland, though? So, we saw you, right after you filmed it. I think you told us a lot about it, but we didn't get to talk to you after.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was so much fun. So it was produced by Tom Hanks's production company, Playtone, and I went by to see them back in December just because I was like, oh, I should check in. And I just thought I was meeting with his producing partner, Gary, and I went in and we're sitting at Playtone in Santa Monica, and it's like the coolest thing ever. They put me in this room for a second when I got there, and there's Emmys and there's movie posters of all the shows and movies that they've done. And then we're just all hanging out talking, and they're like, oh, it's so funny, Tom Hanks is just in your chair. And I was like, get out. And I don't get too stars. I can keep my cool even though I'm butterflies on the inside, but this one I got so starstruck. And I just was like, what, get out. And they're like, no, somebody go grab Tom, he's right upstairs. And literally half a minute later, Tom Hanks comes walking in the door, and I was just like, oh my God.
Dream come true.
It was so cool. And he sat down, we talked for 15 minutes. It was so cool. He was very nice.
That's so fun too, that it was a surprise, you didn't know what was happening.
I had no idea. You know, sometimes people have a company and you just figure that, oh, they're not really doing anything. But he's there all the time, they said.
And he seems the nicest guy. I mean, when you watch his interviews and just learn about him.
He was so nice. We were talking about, he was saying how he thinks he pays too much for his cable. And I was Hanks has to pay for cable.
Right?
He's got to be on every channel all the time. They're always been playing his movies.
How do they not give it to him for free?
I know, they should give it to him for free.
If you're on more than two channels, within the month, you get it for free.
Exactly.
Oh, so funny.
It was so cool. I know, I felt like I was on a little Tom Hanks, Rainbow Road. A little high.
So funny. But you had that movie. Is there anything that you have coming up that you want people to know about?
I'm working on some projects, but unfortunately, I don't know if there's anything that I can really say for sure yet. I do my little web series.
Right.
I'm going to bring that back. But in the meantime, I actually wrote a screenplay with a good friend of mine who's a writer. And so we kind of incorporate, because I had this long list of all these really awkward moments. And I was like, God, some of these I'd like to see in a movie.
Oh, gosh.
So we just started writing. And so we're kind of in the process of rewrites and then also just trying to figure out how to make a movie, how you do that.
That's exciting.
So, yeah, it's really fun.
So they can probably follow you on Twitter and stuff to find out when that stuff's happening.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And so everybody. Follow her. It's at Mallory Amoy.
Okay. Yes, there's a Mallory Moy out there, and she beat me to Gmail and to my Twitter handle.
I hate when that happens. I know. I had two R's on the end of my name because I was C. Archer was already taken on everything.
I know. So. You're blast. If you're out there, I would trade you.
They can, you can buy kidding. It from people. I've heard of people buying back a Twitter name so they can have the one they want.
Wow, I bet that could get expensive.
I'm sure.
The right person.
But people do that, especially with celebrities. They take celebrity names and then the celebrity has to buy it from them so they can be easily found on social media.
Wow. We need to find up and coming celebrities and steal their names before they get to
We'll get into the business of stealing Twitter
names. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Because now Mallory has to put an A in her Twitter hand. So guys, follow her if you want to keep up with what she's doing. Because you do tweet a lot. You're pretty active on social media.
Yeah, I'm trying. Doing my best.
All right. Well, why don't we get into some predictions then for this show? And we'll have to watch Mallory and see if anything's right.
We always like to see poker face.
And now, your After Buzz TV predictions.
All right, who's starting? Anyone?
You always have the good predictions.
I have a good one.
Okay.
So my prediction is that if and when Joel and Zoe break up, it won't necessarily be because they have some conflict in their relationship, but maybe it'll be because his career is, like, pulling him back to New York or something.
Ooh, like the book takes off.
Yeah. I mean, even though he's a writer, and I guess he could do that from wherever he needs to. But
right.
True. Yeah. I'm just having a really hard time seeing them breaking up at least any time within the next... don't get me wrong, with how quickly that the breakups happen today, maybe they will actually just have something that happens kind of quickly. And I think you're right. I don't think it will be because they're having an issue. They seem to resolve any, like, issue that they have. But I don't know. I don't see it coming up anytime in the immediate future, at least.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't think it's immediate, but I think it will build up to, like, something bigger. Like, I don't actually think it'll be because of his career. I think it might be because of something within their relationship because... You know, even with this house thing, one of them has to cave and give up what they want. And not that you're going to have to do that in a relationship anyways. There's always compromise. But if there's other things weighing down, which I think we saw foreshadowing of, the fact that maybe there's still some stuff between Zoe and Wade, buying a house and all of the stress that comes with it and the pressure to get married. Like, this whole episode with Harley saying, you guys aren't married. Like, aren't you guys going to get married and have kids? Mm-hmm. You can't have a kid here. It's like... All of that, I think, will weigh heavily on Zoe, especially, where she's just found, like, family and she's getting used to her life. I don't know.
What got me about that interaction where Harley was saying, yeah, you guys look like you're married already, was I feel like when people – or I mean, he's a little kid, but regardless, when anyone usually says that to a couple, they kind of, like, freak out a little or at least are like, oh, you know, like, no, we're not. We're not at that point yet. But they were just like, oh, yeah, I guess we are. Which was a little strange. I mean, that certainly doesn't say that they're breaking up anytime soon to me, at least. But
right.
I don't know. It's a little and weird.
Do we think, I'm thinking we're out of the clear because we were talking to Marcia and she said that there was a big breakup coming. Isn't that what she said? And so we thought it was going to be Annabeth and LaVon just because they're like the steady couple right now. Mm-hmm. Are we thinking that George and Lindley and Brooke and Shelby are the breakup?
I think that's probably what she was talking about.
Yeah.
I think. What do you think? Yeah?
I don't know, to be honest.
They just, AB and LaVon just seem in a good place. And they're so cute.
Together.
No, they're going to have trouble.
You say you don't know, but now you think they have trouble.
Well, no, what I meant by saying I don't know is I don't know what she was speaking about when she said that's going to be the next big breakup. I mean,
well, yeah, she didn't say them. Like, we assumed it was them, but.
It's kind of subjective.
Mm-hmm. You think they're going to have trouble, though, still?
I read it on the showrunners were doing an interview and it said that LaVon and Lemon are gonna have LaVon and Annabeth are gonna have trouble. Not to spoil the show, but I don't know if they're gonna break up, but they are.
Yeah, because trouble can mean anything, really. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Well, I hope they stay together because they are very cute, and I feel like that would just be one too many breakups for this season. There's just so many different relationships, and I also foresee solely because of checking Jamie's Instagram and Twitter and stuff that she'll be back soon. Do we know what? Do you know what episode she comes back? Like, is that something you could tell us? Or?
I honestly don't remember which episode she comes back, but I think it's pretty soon. That's so vague.
Well, no, it just we're doing the timeline.
Soon. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I think it's pretty soon.
Okay, so we'll keep our eyes out for her. But any other big predictions for anybody?
Mine's sort of a question because I don't have a really good answer, I guess. But what do you guys think about Wade and Vivian? Valerie, for some reason, came to mind, but Wade and Vivian.
I think they're really cute, and I liked, you could see the passion and the chemistry, and I think, like we've said before, she's very similar to Zoe, which makes it seem like an easy fit for Wade. But I think the idea of having a child and this whole responsibility Wade would have to have, I think this relationship will help him mature and be a bigger man and kind of really, you know, grow as a person. I don't think it's going to be for the long run, because she's probably looking for... She's already been married. You know, she wants a marriage and somebody stable for Harley, not something that's just going to be temporary.
Speaking of, really quickly, because I think we're going to get yelled at if we don't talk about this, Heart of Dixie got a little, like, graphic tonight with the... Ooh, I was surprised.
Sure,
I was sitting next to Mallory and I was like, what? This is new. But, I mean, I guess good for them, but
Yeah. And finally, like.
I was going to say also, they always have the best lingerie. Like, Zoe's always just wearing, like, the cutest underwear. And I would want to be like, nobody does this. Like, who has that? But then we see Meatball and Tom, and their underwear's, like, not the cutest. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just the ladies who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, one underwear store in Bluebell, and it only sends, like, sells really nice bras. Yeah. And that's what they all wear.
I know. They all have it.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah. Lindley and who else have we seen?
Zoe, Vivian. Even Lemon, I feel like, that time she had her head stuck in the bed footrest or, you know.
Yeah, and the...
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll see some Wanda Tom action eventually.
Oh my God,
they're too wholesome.
We laugh about what Wanda and Tom's like, may you know, make out scene with the bike.
Like even just in private, like they're so like wholesome. Like what happens behind closed doors?
Oh my God!
Any predictions? I know you obviously know more than us, but anything that hasn't happened?
Much more than you, though.
Is there anything you want to happen though that hasn't happened that you're looking for?
I would like to see Brick finally, like, find someone who he can kind of settle down with.
Mm-hmm. Someone who Lemon likes.
Yeah, that's true. That would benefit the girlfriend. I still am rooting for, like, Wanda and Tom to have...
A baby.
And, like, twins. Although I say that, and then I think about, like, actually having to work with a baby, and I'm like, ooh, that sounds really complicated. Mm-hmm. So...
They have, like, certain hours they can work and, like, nap time.
Exactly. So I'm like,
Maybe. I think it would be
for
cute.
For now, just the animals. The animals are pretty
That's
fun.
That's, like, the first the step, though. Cute. You get the animals, test it out, see how it goes, and then maybe it gets.
And then maybe, yeah.
Very funny. I hope we see that, too. But until we do, guys, you can keep the conversation going on iTunes. You can comment, rate, tell us what you're thinking about the show. And also on Twitter, you can follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV. You can follow myself at Paige Sell.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at C. Archer.
I'm Michelle Renee, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Michelle Renee TV.
I'm Mallory Moy, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mallory A. Moy.
Thank you so much for joining us, Mallory.
Thank you, ladies.
Great to have you back.
Thank you,
guys, and we will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.